Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Isn't this a sports show?
Kiss my bum. Just go ahead. Please.
That did not sound good. Don't do that. It sounded tinny. Okay, you're done now.
Smooch it.
Almost entirely.
This is a good radio show.
It's certainly a radio show.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I say pretty frequently, I don't have a great memory, right? My best memories are Slim Chickens, basically.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Beards, how do you pee?
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about today on a variety of topics, as has become the norm in this sort of now post-Chiefs era of Almost Entirely Sports in 2021. It was so Chiefs-heavy for so long that not having your daily piece of Chiefs news has really been a tough pill to swallow. The good news, though, today is that the biggest story of the day is good news from the Kansas City Chiefs side of things. So we'll get to that in just a little bit, because honestly, as I tweeted earlier today, I think what the Chiefs got today is going to be the best news they can get at any point this offseason. Better than anyone that they will draft, better than any free agent they will sign, better than any trade they may make, better than any salary cap maneuvering they may accomplish. I think the best news for 2021 and the 2021 Kansas City Chiefs came today. We'll get to that in just a second. Also, we're going to be all over the place in terms of our guests today. Alec Lewis of The Athletic will join us at 9 o'clock tonight, making his first appearance in the new year as we look ahead to some interesting Royals storylines. And he's got a few great stories up in The Athletic already that are very much worth your time if you're interested in getting up to speed before baseball season fully gets up and running. He's in surprise right now for spring training. And then also at 8, we'll talk to Sterling Holmes of Darren and Sterling over on ESPN Kansas City, also of Arrowhead Addict. So we'll talk to him about some of this Chiefs stuff. But also, he texted me this morning expressing some regret about his "I'm not pulling the parachute just yet" on Mizzou basketball. He texted me this morning and said, "I should have pulled the parachute. I am on the pavement." So we'll talk to Sterling about what happened with Mizzou basketball and just some of the very dark things that happened. Really, local basketball last night, except for K-State out of nowhere, was not a good experience. KU fell to Texas. Mizzou lost a game they lost a game they shouldn't have lost, but they've lost enough games that they shouldn't have lost, and now you wonder, should they have lost them? But KU last night was frustrating. We'll talk about that some later. It wasn't my plan to talk about that a lot today. And then we got the Chiefs news. It was a tweet, and the remarkably rare huge injury news being broken by the player who is getting the surgery. Mitchell Schwartz tweeted this morning, accompanied by a selfie of him wearing a hairnet, a face mask, a hospital gown, and laying in some sort of, you know, medical bed, an IV hooked into his hand. So I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm not going to play I Spy with this picture. You can go look at it if you want. But he tweeted that picture with this accompanying text. "Injury update. I'm getting surgery today. I was hoping to recover enough to get back for the playoffs/Super Bowl, but that didn't happen. It's time to address the issue. The recovery process isn't too long, which is nice. Looking forward to a healthy 2021. #Chiefs, #ChiefsKingdom. I'll say it this way one more time to be really clear about how this should make you feel, in my opinion. This is the biggest acquisition the Chiefs will make this offseason. This is the best news they are going to get. If all of this is all true, if the surgery goes well, went well, if the rehab process goes well, if Mitchell Schwartz plays right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2021, and he looks like the Mitchell Schwartz that we saw playing football just a little over a year ago. Seth Kaiser, already up in the Chief of the North newsletter, wrote a little piece that is worth your time if you want to check that out. But he was looking back at the Super Bowl, not this year, but last year. Mitch Schwartz in Super Bowl 54 was a game changer, a legitimate game changer. I think back to this every once in a while. I think I've mentioned this on the show a few times. But last offseason, in an episode of Time's Ours with me and Seth and Nate Taylor, we were doing a little kind of like just off-the-cuff draft of Chiefs offensive players and like of importance. You know, if you have to build the Chiefs offense, everybody gets Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but then who from the Chiefs offense do you take next? If memory serves, it went Travis Kelce 1, Tyreek Hill 2, and Mitchell Schwartz was the third pick off that board. Because what he allows this offense to do is so, so helpful for all of the other issues we've seen come and go with this Chiefs offensive line. It is not an accident that the interior offensive line looks worse without Schwartz out there. And also now think about the tackle positions. Think about the conversations we were having last week or I don't know, a few days ago. The Chiefs are coming into this offseason with overwhelming questions about both of their tackles. And that's not how the Chiefs built this offensive line. The Chiefs' offensive line, for as long as Andy Reid has been here, and certainly since you know that they brought in Mitch Schwartz at least, this offensive line, let me say Mahomes era, whatever, has been about investing in the tackles and then the dudes in the middle making it work. Now, they paid LDT, even though he was, I believe, a sixth-round pick off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. They drafted Mitch Morse back in the day, ultimately let him walk, though. LDT, Austin Ryder, Andrew Wiley, eventually your veteran Kelechi Osemele, you know, kind of stopgap, who played well, obviously, but like those guys in the middle, the Chiefs are comfortable with. There's a reason you haven't seen them draft a guard in the second round. They're comfortable with those guys in the middle whenever they know they can put their tackles on an island. And, you know, Eric Fisher is going to get beat by probably both Boses, even when healthy, right? We've seen that happen plenty of times. But Mitch Schwartz was just erasing Dee Ford in the Super Bowl, to point out Seth's article again. And then what does that do for the guards and then the center in the middle? Well, now Austin Ryder, in one of these snaps that Seth pulled up, is literally just kind of standing around looking for something to do, because LDT at that point, he's waiting to help LDT with, I believe in this snap, is Eric Armstead. But you can double your interior pass rushers, and you can start winning a numbers game, because you know that LDT, or whoever your right guard is not going to have to worry about also kicking some help to Schwartz, because he's good over there. Now, look, all of this absolutely hinges in many ways on what version of Mitch Schwartz we see next year. First of all, just for him to say, hey, I'm coming back, essentially, is news. If you would have asked me yesterday what's the most likely outcome, I probably would have said that he doesn't play football again. Now, that's partially because of the way that this injury just kept... It felt like the Chiefs were just hitting the snooze button over and over and over again. We get a little clarity today with Schwartz saying, I really was trying to come back for the playoffs. I was trying to come back for the Super Bowl, and it just never happened. Pairing that with what he says about his recovery not being a terribly long process, if it's a 2 or 3 month recovery process, then maybe, even if it's a 3 or 4 month recovery process, it's okay to wait till the season's over to get it done, because you're going to be back in time. But if it's a little bit, if it's in that range, maybe it was long enough that you didn't think that he'd be likely to be back if he would have gotten surgery in week six or whatever, when he ultimately left that Bills game. Now, you can second guess that a little bit and say, well, if it depending on what the recovery time ends up being, we'll revisit those timelines later. It's probably the easiest way for me to set that up. Because if you think it's a really quick recovery of some sort, well, then you probably should have gotten surgery and then been back healthy for the playoffs. If it's a really long recovery, you should have gotten the surgery sooner and then be back healthy for training camp. There's a little bit of space there where maybe it wouldn't have made sense to have the surgery early, and it also won't endanger him in camp. Hopefully that's the sweet spot that they're in, just kind of for the sake of the logic. But also, the Chiefs didn't end up putting Schwartz on IR for several weeks after he left the Bills game with the injury. He was also clearly dealing with the injury before the Bills game, came out for a series, and then came out and then never returned to the field in 2020, back in that Week 6 game against the Bills. But it is a, for the reasons I've already explained, a huge deal for the Chiefs' offensive line, specifically just next year, if Schwartz is able to come back and play like his former self. Huge deal. It also gives them a little more flexibility with what they do this offseason. Now, he's going to be going into his, I believe I found his year 31 or year 32, age 31 or age 32 season, going in the next year. I'm going to find it. I wrote this earlier. He'll be 32 whenever next season kicks off. So if the Chiefs want to draft more than one tackle this year, that's fine. Eric Fisher, at this point, you can't expect him to be healthy for week one off of an Achilles. Not sure if he's going to be back at all if the Chiefs just see the cap space being more valuable than trying to rehab him along and get him back sometime mid-season. But now, at the very least, you're expecting to be replacing one of your starting tackles and not both of them. We saw in the Super Bowl what happens when you have to replace both of them, and it gets tough quickly. Lucas Niang comes back from the COVID list. He was the rookie who opted out before the 2020 season kicked off. If they feel great about him as a healthy player, then maybe he's your swing tackle who can develop confidently. Maybe you don't bring back Mike Remmers, or maybe you do, and you say, we want to have all the depth in the world, and Remmers is also our swing guard if we need him to. And then you still draft a left tackle that you think can get you through the next, he's going to be your left tackle for the next 8 to 10 years. That works out great, and all of a sudden now that offensive line looks pretty okay. Maybe it's not perfect, but that's, all of a sudden those pieces really start coming together. On the flip side, if you say, well, we don't love any of the pieces, if we don't love, let's say no first round tackle drops to 31 that they really like. And you know what, all of these dudes feels like they'd be reaching here. We'll look at tackle again in the second or third round, but we're gonna take an edge rusher in the first or whatever. Well, now maybe you plan on Lucas Niang and Mike Remmers competing for the same left tackle job, and the other one's your swing tackle until Eric Fisher gets back. Or maybe you just say those two dudes are competing for the job. Now, Remmers obviously looked terrible at that position during the Super Bowl. You'd be rooting for Niang because he's the long-term investment, and he'll be going into his first year of his rookie contract, which is actually kind of nice. And then you feel pretty good about Schwartz on the other side. And if he deals with injuries again, then you are looking more at the 2020 late season offensive line issues where you're going, well, wait a second here now. Is Andrew Wiley playing tackle again? We can't let that happen. But it's way, way, way easier to find not only the depth that then fills in those gaps if injuries do pop up again, but also you have the guy who, as of this moment a year ago, was the best right tackle in football. And look, again, if his back ends up continuing to be a nagging issue, then this whole conversation would change tonally in an enormous way. It would change tonally, totally. It would turn it all up on its head if he's not back fully healthy. But it would also be kind of weird if he's not fully healthy to tweet looking forward to a healthy 2021 and saying the recovery process isn't too long. So I think you've got at least reason for optimism here. Also, Allie Trost pulled this from Brooke Schwartz's Instagram, Mitchell Schwartz's wife, saying they're in Dallas for the quote-unquote spinal surgery. Kind of an interesting phrase there that sounds very serious. Didn't do surgery earlier, hoping he'd be good for the playoffs. Did treatment daily. It's a, quote, quick recovery, unquote. So both of them have kind of put out the idea that it shouldn't be something that nags on for a long time. And really, I guess in some ways, it might be a decent sign that they were genuinely holding out hope that he could be back later in the season. But I think I was done expecting that probably with a couple weeks left in the regular season, honestly, when he just kept not coming back, not coming back, not coming back. Andy Reid said he was day-to-day at some point, which felt, you know, that deja vu was not pleasant. But maybe that's true. You know, again, doing treatment on a daily basis, that's also not somebody, if you're doing treatment on a daily basis, that's also not somebody who is not expecting to play football again, is losing their football weight and all that stuff. A lot of things to be, again, I think, relatively optimistic about within that. So I feel pretty good about that. They still should be looking at the future of the offensive line, looking down the road, trying to figure out what the plan is for Schwartz is out of his contract after next year. So at this time next year, maybe we're talking about Schwartz retiring after one more good year. Maybe he's healthy and they extend him in the first half of the season, whenever they see that he looks good again, or maybe they just re-up next offseason, whatever. But it all just gets a little bit less dire whenever you see Mitchell Schwartz lined up to be back on the field at the beginning of the 2021 season. And it gives you more options. They're still going to have to address several things across the offensive line, arguably at all five positions. They're going to also have a couple of guys coming back in Niang and LDT and have a chance to re-sign Osimile if they want to do that. But this is really, really impactful for the immediate future of the Chiefs, assuming that he does fully come back healthy. Great, great news today. I didn't introduce either of them at the beginning of the show, but Rudy Salazar is here. Beards McFly is watching Warriors Pacers. I know that because at some point he threw his hands in the air staring at the TV and made a face that was asking, why did you do that thing?
Oh, I think Eric Paschal did a belly flop drive where he was basically driving and tripped and fell and belly flopped his way out of bounds. It was funny.
We haven't had any hyper-local, hyper-recent, you know, losing the ball on the way to the basket sort of situations as of late, have we? It happened
Mizzou?
Yesterday. It happened to KU last night.
I went to bed at like 8:45 last night, so I have no idea what happened in that game.
KU won.
I saw the
KU beat Texas.
I saw like the tweets.
Not in overtime.
By you.
Yeah.
And I assumed they were funny, but also had no reference to them.
They also weren't that funny. You don't have
Nate
to assume.
Nate said they were funny this morning.
I appreciate. I think I got a retweet from Nate last night.
He said he saw two tweets from you that were very funny.
Wow, I had two last night.
I forget what the other one was.
I had one of Kevin spilling the chili.
Yep, he mentioned that.
I don't remember what my other good tweet was.
I'm trying to remember what the other one was, and it might not have been from last night, but it was from the last like day or two.
From the last like several years, no, I've had at least two good
within
tweets
within the last 48 hours.
Well, that's like thousands of tweets to go through.
I'm a volume shooter. I've never argued that I'm not a volume shooter.
Yeah, it is.
Joshua J.R. Smith. Yes. Let's go over here.
I'm also always shirtless.
It's true.
Did it have anything to do with the... This was more recent. With the... Did you guys see the story about the sheep?
Yes.
Yeah,
I saw that on Reddit a few weeks ago.
I'm going to read this tweet. Well, this tweet from Reuters was up 14 hours ago.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah, so it might be a different sheep.
Reddit doesn't count, Beards.
I also don't need to read the internet. I'm going to read just like the tweet. It's Josh reads a tweet.
Okay.
I don't need the music.
Fine.
I have a response to your response. I thought about tweeting the response, but I forgot. So now I'm going to give you a verbal response to your tweet.
To this tweet?
To your tweet. Your
about
quote
the
tweet.
Sheep?
About the can't, why was it compared to a kangaroo?
Who is on? Don't spoil. I haven't read it yet, Rudy.
You just asked the question.
I'm gonna read it. I said I was gonna read. read it, and
you
then Beard
literally
wanted to play
just
the
asked
thing.
The question.
I asked if you saw the tweet, and you guys said yes, and I said, okay, I'm going
to
read
and
it.
And then I said, I'm going to give you a response. And then you asked, a response to what? And so I
to
answered the question.
To my tweet about the sheep.
If you didn't want the answer, don't ask the question.
Don't give away the punchline. Rosebud. Tweet from Reuters. A wild and ailing sheep found in a forest in Australia named Ba-Rock by rescuers.
Boo.
There's two A's. I'm reading it accurately.
That's the name.
Has yielded a fleece weighing more than 35 kilograms, nearly half the weight of an adult kangaroo, after being shorn for the first time in years. Now, the the picture of the sheep is just outstanding. I assume
it's
up
about
on the
80 pounds, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
80 pounds is a lot of fleece. Can you get the picture of the sheep up on the Twitch and everything, please? You can watch the show on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube channels. The picture is outrageous because the sheep looks like a rock with a sheep nose on the front of it. It just doesn't... It's visually outrageous to look at. But then I quote tweeted that asking, how did they land on half the weight of an adult kangaroo as the metric?
Because it's Australia, Josh. It's Australia. Like, a kangaroo is just like, I know in the rest of the world, a kangaroo is like, oh, that's random. In Australia, a kangaroo is just a normal animal. Kangaroo is just like a dog. It's just there. They're everywhere.
It's up on the video feed now.
I also tweeted, I bet the other tweet was I tweeted the David McCormick experience and then just a gif of someone riding a roller coaster.
That was the other
person.
Tweet. That was a tweet.
I think Nate retweeted that one. Love
that
to get that Bucati endorsement. Huge. Finally moving on up in this world. Also, I will say the local basketball fan Twitter experiences are very, very different. This is me reminding myself to bring that up later. Because the difference in psychological well-being from KU Twitter to K-State Twitter to Mizzou Twitter was outrageously funny last night to me. Anyway, with that being said, if someone told me what's our equivalent to a kangaroo? Is it like a possum or a raccoon or squirrels or something? If someone said, yeah, they sheared. Thank you. They sheared this sheep, and it weighed roughly the same amount as half of a dolphin. That would mean nothing to me. In Australia, are they carrying kangaroos around?
The average person, like, and I imagine Australia. It's like here when you're like when somebody like with a dog, right? Like we all know what the average sized dog kind of like looks like, right? Like we know. Like
that's what I was going to say.
Not really.
Yeah, like a lab is like just your normal dog.
Let's say golden retriever. So we got a specific breed because dogs can vary. If you said that this, how much does a golden retriever weigh? I can see Beard's
probably
at his computer.
Probably 80 to 90 pounds.
80 pounds is 35 kilograms, right? I think Beard's just said.
A male golden retriever weighs up to 75 pounds.
Okay.
Pretty close.
So probably about 65 to 70 on average.
But here's the thing. And yes, this was in a forest in Australia. I understand. If this tweet would have said, has yielded a fleece weighing more than 35 kilograms, approximately the weight of an adult golden retriever, I would have thought that was weird too. But the even stranger thing is that it's half the weight of an adult kangaroo. They just pick something that's right. Because if you said it this way, is half as much as a golden retriever. I barely can visualize the weight of a golden retriever. I've definitely never picked up half a golden retriever. How macabre is that?
Well, you wouldn't need to. It would be the weight of a full golden retriever.
I mean, you've picked up like an eighth of a golden retriever.
No!
Scout's probably about an eighth of the size of a golden retriever.
But she's not a golden retriever in fractions.
But she's she's an eighth of a golden retriever.
That's probably true. How much does a wallaby... Wow, I went weight, but the second result was cost. Can you just buy a wallaby?
Can we expense that? It's been a while since I've expensed something. I don't know what I can and can't get away with.
Well, this does say wallabies weigh 4 to 53 pounds. So that, it matters what kind of wallaby, I guess.
Okay, I was going to say, because that's a wide, A wide range.
But it, like, if you said, in a way of a wool, what was the word for it?
Fleece.
A fleece weighing the same amount as five wallabies, that would have also been wild. It's half the weight of a kangaroo. Anyway, I was kind of reintroducing both of you guys, because I wonder if you had any thoughts about Mitchell Schwartz getting surgery and hopefully being back for the 2021 NFL season.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's obviously not a, like, it's not a bad thing. My only thing where I'm not, like, necessarily overly excited yet is just simply because back surgery leads to typically back surgery. So it's just, yeah. it's just a case of, like, that is great news that if healthy, he will be back. And I expect, you know, at some point he will be, you know, healthy enough to practice, healthy enough to play. It's just how long does that last?
Yeah.
Ideally, it's for a full season. Because, again, if he's healthy for a full season, or at the very least majority of the season, including a playoff run, it's the biggest upgrade that the Chiefs could possibly make this year.
Yeah.
Like outside of... And honestly, I was about to say outside of signing Allen Robinson, but the different, but like you don't have to sign Allen Robinson because you have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
The range from position of need to elite player filling that position could not be larger anywhere else. The only argument would be at left tackle.
Yeah.
I think that's the only argument, is just that without Eric, and that's not replacing Eric Fisher. That's assuming that Eric Fisher's not there week one.
Yeah.
But really, the big question was, as of right now, I think the options for Eric Fisher are either half a season or no season with the Chiefs. That's probably where we're at.
Yeah, I just can't see a way, because with an Achilles injury, which just it is longer than an ACL injury, and even when you're back, it's like the amount of players that say, like, it took, like, even though they were back, like, playing, it was an extra, you know, 6 to 12 months before they finally felt like themselves. That's about as severe of an injury as there is to come back from.
And so, you know, let's say, and if it's going to be no Eric Fisher next year, it would make sense to just release him and then get that cap space and try to replace him then. If that happens, then again, that still might be the Chiefs' number one offseason need. Mm-hmm. But number two is going to be right tackle if Mitchell Schwartz wasn't going to be there. And we were kind of talking ourselves into Lucas Niang or Mike Remmers. If they do draft a left tackle, or they add one in free agency, or whatever they do to fix, let's say they fix the left tackle position. Well, now you're looking at Schwartz in the last year of his deal. You have Lucas Niang developing behind him to maybe be your right tackle of the future. Again, he's going to be in his second year in our consciousness, but his first year of his rookie contract. And if at some point in the season, Schwartz does need some time off, hopefully it doesn't end up being anything long term, but even then you'd feel pretty good about, all right, well, let's see what Lucas Niang can do here in this position. Mm-hmm. And then maybe bring back Mike Remmers also, because I don't know what this item is for you guys, but if you can think of something renewable, like a item of food or something like that that you at one point ran out of. Toilet paper is a pretty good example. You have toilet paper and you don't even really think about it. You just have toilet paper. You got to go to toilet paper. Well, then a global pandemic happens and all of a sudden you only had one roll of toilet paper left and no stores had toilet paper. Pretty much everyone who has been an adult in this time is in the basement of the house right now. We've got like a full case of paper towels and toilet paper, because at one point we just bought too much and now we're never going to have to worry about it again. We are going to all collectively be hoarding toilet paper for the rest of our lives.
I never ran into this problem, honestly. And like, I never
hoard. Well, it's because you wipe with your hand.
But see, that's the thing. Like, I didn't hoard. I never had more than just one extra. I just, for whatever reason.
One pack or one roll?
Like, one
You're
pack
You're not buying
of,
one roll at a time, are
you? I buy a pack with six rolls at a time.
Okay.
And so, like, I would just have, like, basically six rolls extra. And I just, for whatever reason, every time I went to the grocery store, there was just always toilet paper.
Well, then you're the exception to this.
I got super lucky throughout this whole thing. Like, I've never had that problem, fortunately.
That's fine. Some people were out here looking like this sheep,
I think, though. Part of the reason why I got, not to get too far off track, is I kind of live on the outskirts of Olathe. Like, literally, you go one street over, and it's country, technically.
Yeah.
So the Hy-Vee that I live by, there's not a large population that live around it, I think. So, like, don't get me wrong, there were definitely, like, the aisle was depleted, but there was always
some there.
There was always some there.
This is, you know, I don't mind going off track. I did not have in the show notes talk about how clean Rudy's butt was all pandemic, but here we are. But the point is, I think for a lot of people, you're going to always have an extra thing of toilet paper in case something breaks bad just for the next 30 years. Chiefs fans are going to be very, very worried about their fourth tackle for the rest of time, because once you got to that region in the Super Bowl losing offensive line, it got very bad. So that's something you can still address while also being very excited about the potential return for Mitchell Schwartz. I know we have to break. The one thing, though, that you mentioned, Rudy, obviously, is that back injuries often lead to more back injuries, and that process is by no means, just getting into a knee and cleaning it out or whatever.
Makes sense why he was trying to put off surgery for as long as humanly possible, because, again, surgery is like where, like, I've heard multiple offensive, like, former NFL offensive linemen say, like, once you have one back surgery, you're going to have a second back surgery. Now, that back surgery may not happen for years to come.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that he's going to miss time with the Chiefs. It's just typically a back surgery will lead to more, which makes sense why he was trying to not have back surgery.
Sure, and if it becomes a post-career thing, then I'm sure he would live with that. The fact that he's trying to return, at this point, obviously he's willing to kind of just take that gamble, play that game, and maybe it all backfires. Again, maybe this year, maybe something disastrous happens, whatever. The one thing I wanted to revisit, though, is that Beards, I need you to be paying attention.
I'm here.
You're not. Here. What are you looking at?
I was watching Twitter. NBA. That's all.
I need your.
I'm here.
You weren't.
I have headphones on.
Here's what was gonna. No, you were gonna miss it. I could see into the future. This whole thing has been setting up for a bit so we could go to break, and this has happened too many times where I've made a joke and I've pointed at you, and you're reading Reddit or watching an NBA game, and then it just sits there.
Warriors are up 3, by the way.
I don't care. Nope, Kelly Oubre, 10 points. Now I do care again. But the back injury leads to other back injuries, and surgery leading to more surgery. Understandable, especially whenever you're a professional offensive lineman who's out here weighing about the same weight as 3 kangaroos. And that's where I would have pointed you the first time, Beards, but you wouldn't have gotten it. You would have just thought I was making a joke and waiting for a laugh, and would have just sat here in silence awkwardly.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Radio is a super fun place to be, and except for the times that it absolutely isn't. Also the times when you want to throw it a break, but your producer's head is looking at his crotch for some reason.
I was watching the Robin Lopez video. Gosh.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Couldn't have waited until the commercial break, or you couldn't have done it whenever.
Stop whatever you're doing and do it now.
Fair. You know what? Fair. Take the L on that one.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A very passionate NBA All-Star debate broke out in the 30 seconds before this segment started, which is just sort of an odd thing to remind ourselves of because of how many things. Like, I don't know that this is going to lead to us diving into it, but here's just an example of how today and these last couple days have gone. Les Miles has had a whole bunch of things pop up from his time at LSU.
Yeah.
There's like a story on top of a story. And there's allegedly some sort of settlement that was given that he's now denying. And again, there's the follow-up story to that one. We may dive into it more at some point. KU released a statement saying that they did not know about any of these allegations of things whenever they hired him, but they wouldn't make a comment now because they weren't a part of any of the allegations or settlements or anything at the time because it was all at LSU. But, like, That's something that we might speed by at some point today because of just the number of things that have happened. And also, again, I like talking Chiefs. This show is very Chiefy. This show is here to give you Chiefs content all the way throughout the offseason. So I also don't mind about, I don't mind just like continually talking about Mitch Schwartz and the Chiefs offensive line, because we might have done that by accident at some point today anyway, and instead we just got good news. Also, Tiger Woods almost died. That happened since the last show that we did, and it seems like he's going to end up being fine on a sliding scale of crushed legs, but fine in the grand scheme of things. Yes. Yeah, he's going to be alive, yeah. There was somebody, I cannot remember off the top of my head who it was, I apologize, but it was a CNN reporter who tweeted that a year ago, either today or a year ago yesterday, they were on site for a Kobe Bryant celebration of life event, and today he is on site reporting from Tiger Woods in a legit brush with death exactly a year apart. I mean, that happened. I don't have anything. I don't have one single thing at this point to get in and break down on the Tiger Woods stuff, because there's still a lot of things we don't fully know. Although they have said that there was no thought at all of him being impaired or any charges being pressed or anything. He was apparently running late to shoot a video with Drew Brees and Justin Herbert, which is also wild. Layers and layers and layers of that. But at this point, glad it wasn't worse. Check. All right, good. That's the take. The one thing I saw a lot of people tweeting about at the time was how cable news was handling it, and going back and talking about just the number of different issues that have popped up in Tiger's past, and kind of projecting what may have been a factor, which is obviously irresponsible. That's not even really a dunk I'm all that interested in taking, because it's more of a layup of we shouldn't be recklessly speculating what goes into some horrible incident happening. And also, I do feel for the news anchors that have to fill 4 consecutive hours of airtime going in. And in case you missed it, 4 hours ago, we found out that Tiger Woods was in a really terrible-looking crash. Here's the picture. Again, I don't really want to talk about it for 4 minutes, just because I don't feel like there's anything you need me for on this one. You guys got it. You know what to think. Glad he is alive and that no one else was injured and that he wasn't impaired in any way. And it's bad that it happened. Very good analysis by me. Thank you. You guys can all handle it from there. But that's just a thing that happened that is sped by. The college basketball things, we'll talk more about all of this with Sterling, and then after Sterling is on with us in 15 minutes or so. But we've joked about how KU's down season, kind of them jumping into March in a much better state than Mizzou is. That seemed like a relatively fun and easy prediction to make ahead of time, because even KU's down years are better than most teams' up years. But last night was just painful. Everything about the second half was just watching it get worse, and that felt like a horror movie where you kept going, no, no, David McCormick, don't go into that room filled with hanging chainsaws. No, this is not going to end well for you. And it was just thing after thing last night. My favorite part, though, is the varying visual viewing experiences of KU, K-State, and Mizzou fans on Twitter as all of those games were happening simultaneously. It was not a great basketball night. It was a great basketball Twitter night last night. Here's the verdict I'm comfortable giving at this point. KU fans within the sound of my voice, listen. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you get to watch good basketball on a yearly basis. But KU basketball Twitter, I would rather tweet about some very controversial element of politics than to just be hit by constant KU basketball Twitter shrapnel. I said this last night, and I'll bring it back. we had gotten far enough away from the post-Super Bowl sort of toxic Chiefs Twitter, where now we're kind of in like some free agency stuff and some pre-draft stuff, and then now we've got Mitchell Schwartz news. So really, I think Chiefs Twitter and NFL Twitter as a whole has kind of like simmered down a little bit. It's not great, but it's better. We've cooled off some. And just within 5 minutes of feeling at peace with Chiefs Twitter, KU Twitter brought that timeline toxicity that you need to have to feel alive. If my timeline's not making me a little crazy, am I even on Twitter? And KU can be tough. KU Twitter was ready to sacrifice Mitch Lightfoot into a volcano to the basketball gods last night, like 5 minutes into his game. Which I kind of understand, because it wasn't great when he was out there early. And then the five-guard lineup came out, and everything was working much better again throughout the first half. And KU Twitter was making a run to the Final Four. It was happening, baby. Everybody's all lined up again. And then everything bad started happening, and then I joined the KU Twitter toxicity and tweeted a joke comparing Jalen Wilson to Kevin from The Office spilling the chili. And that was just the night we had. Mizzou basketball Twitter, though. God-tier schadenfreude. I mean, so I'm going to ask both Sterling and Alec about this. They're both Mizzou guys. Mizzou Twitter knows what exactly is going on and what is happening to them. And they are just, they're just strapped into the chair. Their eyes are pried open and they are watching. They're watching the horror movie, which might just be what KU Twitter is. But man, they at least know where they're at. They are just they are sharing their pain with the world at large, and I appreciate self-aware, miserable Mizzou basketball Twitter. They had their hopes raised, their hearts broken, and then now they've landed in this nice little self-aware space of just constantly trying to, you know, bleep post through the pain. And there's K-State Twitter just vibing last night. K-State Twitter was just kicking his feet up like, yeah, hell yeah. Sure, why not? Why not us? There was a stat on ESPN on SVP Sports Center right after that I think ended up having some amount of contention, because I think there was a Syracuse team in there that lost like an exhibition game. I don't know. I'm going to give you the stat the way ESPN gave it, which was that K-State is the first team with a D2 loss and a regular season top 10 win since, yes, Wake Forest in 1993-1994 season.
Do you know who was on that Wake Forest team?
No.
Beards, do you know? Should be right up your alley.
Head, I don't think so.
Repeat it.
Some mediocre Celtics player?
No, actually.
Mediocre Nugget?
No. Well, I mean, I guess, honestly, it could be yes to both, but not the point. I only know one player on that team.
Which team was it?
Wake Forest. 93-94.
It's good to
Wake
know he's
Forest
paying attention.
Basketball. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's good to know.
That's such a great point. It's that Steph did something right before the halftime buzzer, and I saw Beards gesticulating at the TV again. So I wasn't going to bring up. It's
did
fine.
I don't think I did.
You made a face, maybe. I don't know. But it's
at
on
this,
a commercial break
at
right
this
now.
Point,
you were watching an Ace Hardware commercial instead of listening to the stat I was giving.
Actually, I was
at this
trying
point,
to find something, but that's fine. Whatever.
He makes faces like he reacts to games, but doesn't even realize he does it, because it's just like, it's. Which we all have the thing, right? We all have the thing that we do that we don't even necessarily realize we do, because
sure,
it's just kind of like secondhand nature.
Sure.
That's Beards in the NBA.
What were you looking for, Beards? This is incredibly important to me now.
I had the thought of going to see if I could find an actual game thread for college basketball, because I've never been able to find one in like the Jayhawks thing, or I just went and looked at Mizzou's.
Sad
Reddit.
Mizzou fans just on Twitter might be worth
right,
your while.
Right, that's what I was trying to find something.
It's
so that's what I was doing.
Very good. All right, you are distracted.
Anyway.
You are distracted by something vaguely show related, as opposed to an Ace Hardware commercial.
Yeah.
Fine.
Also, do you want me to give the answer to Rudy's question?
Also,
fair is fair.
Commercial.
Yeah, sure.
Tim Duncan.
Nailed it.
Ah, that makes sense.
Old Timmy.
You think there was a mediocre Celtic or Nugget?
You know what? Now I'm interested. I mean, it's possible.
94, you said?
93-94. It's just a wild stat. And it's a perfect little encapsulation of what exactly was happening last night, where K-State was the
NBA
only team
players
that actually ended up with a win, and they cared about it the least, I think, pretty clearly, just because they have been miserable this year. Although now it's created this conversation of K-State versus Mizzou neutral site, who wins. I think it's hilarious that we're having that conversation.
Also, we get that next year.
Oh, does that start next year? Or is that come up next year?
Next year? I think it was supposed to start this year.
Is that like a Big 12 SEC challenge thing? Or
no,
is that
Mizzou and KU are just playing each other now.
Mizzou K-State.
Oh, Mizzou K-State. Sorry, I thought you said Mizzou KU.
No, Mizzou K-State. Hey, Beards.
Yes.
You didn't even... Well, this is really where this show belongs, which is that if Beards was paying a little more attention, he could have made fun of the fact that Rudy wasn't fully paying attention. Yeah. But Beards missed that opportunity.
There are no sad Celtics or anybody else on that team.
You said there are
two
NBA
other players, Randolph Childress and Rusty LaRue.
Couple strong names.
Very good names. So Rusty played for played for the Bulls, the Jazz, and Golden State. Get away, pop up. And Randolph played for Portland and Detroit. Randolph, though, was a first-round pick.
How many kangaroos
Rusty
did he weigh?
Rusty was not drafted. But did win an NBA title. He was on the Bulls 98 team. He won a title.
You guys know who was on that Bulls team?
Michael Jordan.
Tim Duncan.
I don't think that's right.
No?
No. Sorry, no. I wasn't paying attention.
No.
See how it feels? Not very good.
It's fine.
I mean, that's true. Can you hear the sirens coming through the microphone, Beard?
I can.
If you can hear them, that's... If you turn on this microphone and then just amp it, that might just be our ambiance mic, our crowd mic. That's them coming to end this show for us.
Tim Duncan didn't even average 10 points a game that year. 9.8 points, 9.6 rebounds.
With the Bulls or with Wake Forest?
With Wake Forest.
Oh, okay.
He was only a freshman, though.
What did he average with the Bulls?
With the Bulls, I believe...
0 points, zero rebounds.
No, that's not true.
Zero assists. Zero steals.
Weirdly, two blocks.
Zero blocks.
Not sure how that happens, but, you know, he pulled it off.
Four fouls. It's crazy.
And one pair of jeans.
Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we're going to see if those sirens are coming for us or not.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
What else do you listen to while on a police chase, if not Almost Entirely Sports?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Really strong liner usage there from you, Beards. Very apropos.
Can I say something real fast?
I'd love
that. This headline just came across. Colin Cowherd fesses up that he will only troll your fan base if it's a top 10 Nielsen market. Apparently he said that on The Hurt today.
Do you have the exact...
This is from 2017. Yeah, the article's from today, but he said this back in 2017. It's on Awful Announcing.
Can I tell you an email that I got today?
It's just interesting, yeah. I imagine it's related to this, weirdly.
It's not, actually. It's just something I saw on my screenshots, and I'm honestly not going to have time to get to. So remind me later, I'll tell you about this weird email that I got today.
It was a Colin Cowherd related. Ooh, look at this mustache Colin was rocking back in 2017.
Colin was rocking a mustache in 2017?
Looks like it.
Wow. That was a pretty good segment. We'll do another segment with the previously mustachioed man, Sterling Holmes, next.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.